Amen, amen. So the title of my sermon this morning, I think you would have seen it in the broadcast group and everything, is Behind the Walls. Behind the Walls. And, you know, it's a good thing to sometimes, if you've ever stood on the wrong side of the wall and wonder what's behind there. All right, if you, I remember standing in front of a club the one night and all you hear is it's going rough, and I'm thinking, yes, I've never been in a club, so what's going on behind these walls? I found out. I stayed, I think, about a half an hour, and I left. My nichie had for me a blind date georganized. Can you believe that? Yeah. Yeah. And I turned to this young lady, and I said, I'm done. I'm leaving. Goodbye. And that was my first and my last behind that wall. I just couldn't handle it. It was crazy. It was too loud. Any case. But this morning, I want to take a different look and maybe just to give you some context. Let me just move this. In the last 2 weeks or so, the Holy Spirit has just really been getting under my skin and challenging me and getting me to think a bit of, you know, obviously what's happening now. I think none of us has been here before, and leading people and instructing people in this time becomes difficult as things carry on. And I think as a leader, it is probably one of the most difficult seasons, because I think more than ever people are in their own heads and they're thinking about stuff and meditating and, you know, getting lots of information. And how do you lead people through this? And so it's been interesting and it's been challenging, but God has been faithful. And I stand so amazed of what God is doing at this time. Sorry. So the Holy Spirit starts speaking to me and in essence asking me a question. And for that reason, you know, being the pastor, the nice thing is you never have to suffer alone. You can lead your congregation through this and say, guys, what are you seeing? So I just want you to take a few moments. And Chris and Sharon, we've had this discussion, so you don't have to cheat me. But I want to ask you a question. Why do we do church? In your opinion, why do we do church? So you can quickly turn around and maybe say to someone, why do you think we do church? Okay, merke gereed gaan. Okay, social distancing still applies. You 1.5 meters. Maar jy kan praat. Quickly, what do you think? Why do we do church? What's your opinion? All right, so maybe I can get a bit of feedback here from the congregation here. So can I have some takers? Why do we do church? Fellows in a ship, all right? There's some ladies too. Fellowship, okay? Edifying. The second commandment. Thou shalt love another man's wife. What's that one? No, I'm joking. Corporate worship? Any takers? Other takers? Kom. Waar word julle gepraat? To celebrate what's happened in the week. Die kant. Kom, Cole, wat sê jy? Okay, so talk to one another, bring darkness to the light. Is jy nou reg, Cole? Huh? Some inspiration for the coffee. I hear that. Okay, so we are overcoming by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Awesome. To keep the fire burning. Is that a good reason to get together? Fantastisch. Julle doen so goed. I can see you've been in church very long. You've been discipled. But I think the reality is, you know, we all met Christ. We all love Jesus. And for that purpose, obviously, we have a common goal. We meet together. We come together. We meet with Jesus. He meets with us. We get inspired. We share. We drink coffee. And this is all good stuff that we're experiencing at the moment. And this is why we do church. You know, I guess the other question that I can ask is, but why do we do Bible school? You know, why do we reach out? Why do we do these things that we so often do? And if you think about this, one of the biggest challenges that we have as a church at the moment is the fact that we can't do what we are used to doing. The very things of a lot of the things that you're saying this morning, you know, is in essence being taken away from us or limited. And we get frustrated and we struggle and we don't know what to do. You know, and as we journey through this, we need to understand why we're doing stuff. We need to grasp it so that we can continue to walk in it. Otherwise, we're going to miss a few things. So, as I was pondering through this and as I was thinking, you know, God, but why do we do church? Why do we gather? Why do we all do all these things? The Holy Spirit started speaking to me. And I think one of the things that, in order to understand this, we need to go back to what maybe the reason why God actually started this. So, you know the law first mentioned? You need to go right back. And I think a good place to start for this is Genesis 1:26. And it says there, then God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over the creeping things. Oh, ladies, the creeping things. You need to have dominion over them. That creep on the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And if I look at Scripture, if I see the one reason, or if I look at this portion of Scripture, maybe let me just say that firstly, then I realize that you don't make anything, especially in your likeness, if you're not going to like it. If you don't like yourself, you're not going to make anything that looks like you. So God here makes man in his own image. And I can tell you one thing, even if you read the Psalms, you know, where God says, I form you in your mother's womb, you know, I breathe life into you in this creation account where God comes and he breathes life into Adam. You know, that word there literally means that he was like this, close, face to face. And can you just imagine? And I know fathers and mothers will understand that, but you know, your wife's pregnant, she walks around with this groot boop, and that's one thing. And the day you're in that hospital and that baby gets born, now for any father that's here, I mean, if you want to become mush, that is a mushy moment. Where you for the first time pick up your son or your daughter, and man, and all your testosterone disappears. Ach, you're like jelly. And suddenly you do stuff you will never do. Oh, you're so old-looking. That's not manly. But we all crumble because we suddenly, the love inside of us, the passion towards this little person is overwhelming, and everything in you goes like... It's always funny. I said to Lorette a few times when they were small, it's like, if I would love to know what they're thinking, because you're doing the stuff that, you know, genade, man. But here God is creating man, and I'm sure in that moment he has this absolute, you know, mushy love feeling for us as he creates us, as he forms us, as he puts us together. He creates us in his image, and he's absolutely in love with us. And you know, that never changed. That never changed, because in John 3 verse 16, which is a true reflection of, in my opinion, why God started all this. He just continues from Genesis 1 and he takes it further in John, and he goes like, man, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. You don't give your son to die for someone just somewhere. Can you imagine the love that God has for you and me, for humanity, for people of this earth, that he was willing to give his son to die for us? Now, if that's not love, then I don't know. That's how passionate he was. I mean, we're sitting here, probably won't even be keen to give our lives necessarily for someone else. But here we have a loving God who is willing to give his only son to die for me and you. And as I was just journeying with God in this weeks, and I just realized the importance of the fact that God loved us so much and how he's calling you and me to that very thing, to love. And then obviously, if you speak about love in the Christian world, you have to go to 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to take a quick look into this now, just quickly, because this hit me like a ton of bricks. Because we've mentioned quite a few things why we think, you know, we do church. And we sit in a situation where a lot of the stuff that we used to is being taken from us, and we actually don't really know how to respond in this time, and we get frustrated and all the rest of it. But 1 Corinthians 13 reads this. He says, "If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but I have not love, I am a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal." Powerful start to this portion. You know, I can speak the language, I can speak in tongues, I can, you know, do anything that I even converse with angels, maybe. And if I do not have love, this scripture starts off and he says, "Listen, then you're just making one big noise." And that hit me as I was meditating and as I was thinking about this, is that I can do so much, and in our Christian world, we do so much. But am I just making a noise? What is the motive for what I'm doing here? Why am I doing what I'm doing? And then he continues, "If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries," oh, that would be cool, "and all knowledge, if I have all faith, so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing." Now, can I just remind you, we started the 4th of January, I preached a sermon and saying that this is the year of great faith. This is the year where we're going to step out and God is going to do anything, great things in our lives, and how he prepared us last year for this year. Do you remember that? Can I go delete? Backspace? I'm slightly freaked out at the how profound that word actually is at this time, and how we're in a space where we need to apply great faith. And now the fact that God prepared us last year for this year has not changed. Yet we, maybe our vilikis is coming off a bit, yeah, we're falling apart. And if I read the scripture, this hit me between the eyes, where it says, "If I have all faith, so to move them," you know, we spoke about that seed faith, that if you have faith like a mustard seed, you can say to that mountain, "Get up and move." If I have that faith, if I'm walking in it, and I look at the scripture and it says, "But I have not love," it says, "I am nothing." And this is where it got interesting. Because I stood before God and I was convicted of this very fact, that I'm pursuing faith, and I'm walking by faith, and I'm doing stuff, and we're doing Bible school, and we ministering, and we doing so much stuff. But the question that the Holy Spirit was sort of hitting me with is, do you have love? What is the motive for what you are doing here? And you know, my response, my honest response would be, "Yes, Lord, of course it's love." But when I sit still and I think about it, then I go like, "Yeah, but Corbis, maybe you have become so used to stuff. That's how it's working. That's how it's done." You know, I can tell you one thing. Doing these services on the Sunday is one big groot slip. From a media point of view, And it's, oh, let's not get talking about the sanitizing. You know, I now bathe in sanitizer just to make sure that when I come here, I'm ready. And it's deodorant now as well. But there's so much going on, and it's actually very difficult. So what motivates me to keep going? What motivates me to come here and to do this? Is it my ritual? Is it the fact that we are Christians and we should meet? I guess there's that component. My previous pastor used to say, dogs bark, ducks quack, and Christians go to church. It's just who we are. It's what we do. But this scripture hit me between the eyes, and I was like, ooh, I didn't see that one coming. Verse 3 says, if I give away all I have, and I deliver up my body to be burned, but I have not love, I gain nothing. And I was just like, wow. So we can do all the outreaches. We can reach out to the poor. We can do everything. We can even give our bodies up to be burned. But if we do not have love, we have nothing. Now let's just quickly, first, if we take Corinthians, and I want to just take you through, firstly, what is love? Now I want to encourage you, firstly, like I encourage you to go read Psalm 119. I want you to encourage you to go read this First Corinthians slowly. Good luck. But it says, firstly, love is what? Patient and kind. Maybe read it in context of your love, right, your life right now, and where do you find yourself? Love is patient and kind. Love rejoices with the truth. I think sometimes we're rejoicing with more bad news than what we're rejoicing with truth now, but love bears all things. Now this is hectic. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. And then in verse 8 it says, love never fails. So there's a lot that we can do in this life, but there's one thing that will stay standing. There's one thing that will not fall over. That's one thing that will not crumble. According to Scripture, it is love. That's the one thing that will not fade away. And you know why? Because if I read my Bible correct, it says God is love. God is love. It's the very essence of who He is. It is why He died for us. It's why He created us, because He is love. That is why love will never fail, because God will never, ever, ever fail. And that's why love can bear all things. Now read that slowly and think how you're going to do that. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things. Hello? Is it just me that's going like, whew? I have failed that so many times, like in a cum laude my fail. It's like Kobus Meyer, Billiki. You really need to step up to the plate here. And look at what love is not. Love is not this. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. Anybody been rude lately? Or maybe arrogant? Okay, none of you. I know, I'm speaking actually to the wider audience, to the greater church of Jesus Christ. I mean, maybe there's someone there. It does not insist on its own way. Hello. Buxian. It is not irritable or resentful. That one especially got me. If I ever was hit straight between the eyes, it was this moment. When I read that, it's not irritable or resentful. It wasn't so much the irritable part that got me than the resentful. actually went to look up the word, and then I was like, okay, Lord, I didn't think I'd do that, but I think I do. And I was messed up. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing. You know, that portion of scripture is so huge, and it, you know, the one thing that you can, I guess, once you read it, you know, you can go into a depro of everything that you're not doing. But you see, God is love, and we are sons and daughters of the Most High God, of this God who loves. His Spirit dwells within me. So His very Holy Spirit is the one that works this inside of my life. You know, just go think about this. The fruit of the Spirit is what? It starts with love. It's this fruit of the Spirit that dwells in you. The first thing that it generates in you and me is what? Love. So don't tell me I cannot do this. In my journey before God, I have to realize that this is who is dwelling within me. I can love in this way. I think it comes back to Romans, where it's a question of whether I'm walking in the Spirit or whether I'm walking in the flesh. Am I just going through the motions as a Christian, or am I actually motivated by this love, this God that is dwelling within me? So we know that love does not fail. It cannot. 1 Corinthians 13 ends with this scripture, and it says, so now faith, hope, and love abides, these three. But the greatest of these is love. We cannot underestimate the power of love. We cannot walk away from love. So what is behind these walls? What is behind the walls of the church? There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of traditions and things that we do. And there's good stuff that we're doing. And there's people that are being discipled and lives being transformed and changed. But I tell you, and I submit to you today, unless we do it from a place of love, we're just going to make one big noise. And nothing's going to happen. Well, I guess there'll be things happening. Are we just making a noise? Is your life just making a noise? Or is your life actually, and my life actually, resonating from a place of love towards this God? Now, if you go look at love in Scripture, and there's lots of Scriptures. I just choose a few, and I actually choose a lot. So I'm just going to fly through this quickly, and I just want to, through that, sort of just stir your heart as to where God is taking us. John 3, verse 13, verse 34 says, a new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Hello. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. So that love starts here. Behind those walls, there should be love for one another. John 15, 12. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Oh, so there's a repeat now. Do you see a theme? John 15, 70. These things I command you so that you will love one another. Oh. Maybe God is trying to tell us something. That behind these walls, the one thing that we should at least find is love for one another. Okay? Romans 12, 10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo another in showing honor. So now we should outdo one another in how we do this. So you can't have, you know, yeah, but he's not doing that. It's like, I mean, I'm going to outdo you with love. Can you imagine if we all outdo one another in love? Sure. That church should be interesting. 1 John 3, 11. For this is the message that you have heard from from the beginning, that we should... Oh, shucks. So now the apostles is getting into this as well, okay? 1 John 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Have you been born of God and do you know God? Okay. 1 John 4 verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. Do you see a theme? If I look at scripture, I just realize that there's only one reason why we should be doing what we're doing. It's not because we are part of Shofar. It's not, you know, because this is sort of our culture and this is what we do. There's only one reason for doing this. You see, if I look at the state at the moment, I see that Corona has done one thing. It has exposed a bit of our weaknesses. It has exposed stuff that's actually sort of just been there that is undercover, and we have not given attention to it. And the Holy Spirit is waiting for us, his church, and then I'm speaking to the broader church, to maybe just wake up. You know, we want to fight for our traditions and our stuff that we have in church, but we're not fighting for the very core and the reason why we're doing this. Love cannot be contained in these walls. It's not limited to the Sunday when we meet. It cannot be withheld from being shown if that is who we are. You know, many people's faith now is fading. It's shrinking because of many reasons. Maybe they're failing to meet with their God. Maybe they're just asking too many questions. You know, they're going, why is God doing this and everything? The fact of the matter is still that God so loved us that he gave his son for each one of us. You know, laziness is replacing zeal for his kingdom because it's just so much easier. Why do I go to church? What is my motivation? Is it like the many scriptures that I've read now that says this is what we should do, is love one another? Is this not how the world will know that we are his disciples if we love one another? Saints, why are we doing this? And maybe for some of us, and definitely in the broader church, I guess we need to answer that question, because that will determine whether we will actually carry on or not. Whether some of us will fade and fail in our faith because we're asking questions, but we fail to look at into the eyes of Jesus Christ. We fail to look at him and go, but I still love you, and you still love me, and you actually still love the world. I wanted to do a little demonstration, and I failed to get the stuff, but I'll sort of just share it with you. It's not going to be the same impact, but if I have a box of chocolates in this hand, and in this hand I have a paper bag, just a brown paper bag, which one will you choose? The chocolates. Danielle will be here first. You will not have a chance. You will get taken out. In actual fact, I will probably drop it, and before it hits the ground, she will be here. She is that quick. But you see, there's one thing about advertising and products that's, when you buy something, the packaging entices you to desire that which is inside. A brown bag, just there's nothing inviting. Maybe the only reason why you'll take the brown paper bag is because you're thinking, maybe there's something great in there. Yeah. You know, but if I put a scorpion in the brown paper bag and I have the chocolates and you choose that one, imagine your disappointment. But the only reason why, probably because our culture has also trained us, you know, do you want the money or the box? That's a very old TV show, in any case. But what will you choose? The reality is, you know, this box of chocolates looks enticing, and that makes me want the inside. To put that in our context, you know what? The only thing the people will see is your packaging and my packaging. They will meet Jesus through you and me. And that will lead them to what's in the inside. If my life and your life does not look and represent our God, they will not desire Him. If our church does not look like Him, it is not enticing in a sense, you know, that's the wrong word to use, but if people look at us, do they want the God that is in us? The only reason sometimes where people come to church is because they see the brown bag and they go like, what's in there? And if we put up a sign outside, they go like, oh, that's a nice sign. I wonder what's going in there. What do they find when they get here? And for us, going forward, I think we need to settle in our hearts what is the motives for us actually still doing this. And I think if it's going to be anything else than an actual sold out passionate love for God Almighty, then we might just as well leave it. Because there's still no greater love than to lay down your life for your friend. These things messes me up, guys. And please understand me, I'm preaching this sermon from a place of vulnerability because I realize, God, I'm so busted. There's so much I need to sort out in my own life and to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to me. And you know what? In this last week, it is interesting how meditating and thinking through this, how it actually is altering my actions. Because I've become aware of the fact that I serve a God who loves. And where my response would have been harsh or withdrawing or whatever in the past, I'm finding myself thinking twice. Why am I doing this? And I realize I have to grow in this. I need to grow in this. All of us needs to grow in this. But I think this morning the Holy Spirit is bringing an invitation to you and me, saying, God, guys, what is behind the wall? So why do we do church? Because we love. Because of love. Because God loved us. Because of our love for one another. That's why we're going to do everything. That's the very motive. Why do you do band? Why do you lead a small group? Why do you do children's ministry? Why do you reach out to the lost? Let's go through the list. Let's check whether we, I can't say what Nas is doing. Nas, ek sien jou love is bietjie af vandag, ou seun. You know, I think you're due for an upgrade. It's interesting, we can always discern where someone else's love is. Hoe jy's 'n bietjie laag, bro, jy moet 'n bietjie kerk toe gaan. I can discern where my own love is, my own passion, my zeal for my God. And you know what? I will still stand before Him like this. Just me and Him. So this is my walk before Him. You see, how will the world know that we're following Him? It's because of love. And the one thing that I'm very sad of as a congregation, and I think it's something that we urgently need to rectify, is when Corona hit, or even like the rains now, as a congregation, we don't have a social outlet yet. And we need to fix that.
reach the community, to love unconditionally. Let's just do this. See, this morning, if we do nothing else, let us love one another as He has loved us. And may that love testify of our God that we serve. It's the very reason why we meet. It's the reason why we make disciples. It's the reason why we reach nations and generations and plant churches. That is why we're going to do this. So I want to invite you in a journey with me as the Holy Spirit gets into my life and says, Kobusi, waar is jou padjie nou, seun? Ja, is nou tyd vir jou om reg te kom. It's time for you to step up to the plate. It's time for you to really die to yourself. To reflect, my God, who is love. And listen, we all fail in this. But may we grow in it over the next while as we continue forward.